This is KI9NG Mobile in Grand Rapids.
QD9HAY.
Oh boy. What's up, Baden? Hey, I gotta call my dispatcher to make sure these morons shovel the dock. Like, there's 5 inches of snow there. Like, and then they said you can't back in, and they're like surprised that I want them to have their dock shovel. Morons, man. I don't understand. KI9NG.
That's kind of weird. I had a busy channel lockout on this. But, yeah, you might as well tell them to solve, too. Get it nice and clean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll just shovel 2 tracks and salt it. That's what they said. Like, I don't know. I mean, I can understand if they don't get loads. They get load every day. They get at least one load every single day. And you see these guys. They're shoveling huge amounts of snow out there. No. Okay, this is not rocket surgery, man. I don't know. But, yeah, they're going to throw some salt down. They got the salt. So, yeah. But, I mean, the fact that I paid for this is ridiculous. I mean, you know what's going on here. Come on, people.
I mean, I would assume that they have some kind of snow plow that plows their parking lot. Would it take the back drag two plow lifts on the dock? That would take like 30 seconds.
Yeah. Well, this whole street hasn't seen a plow today. And, it's already spreading the salt. Now, spread the salt before you shovel it, huh? I'm going to have to get out all the way to the road because it's, yeah. Anyway. I'll be back in a bit, Hayden. Enjoy your day. I know I will. Yeah,
we'll catch you later there. I'll be conscious off and on throughout the day. We'll catch you later. 73, KD9HAY.
W9PRK, 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 KI9NG. Okay, now I'm there. I was on AC9HO hub, and he wasn't connected. This is KI9NG on the W9LY repeat.
And now you're there, W9PRK. A little quiet. I might have my volume down, though.
Oh, I don't know. It could be, I think it's, I'm good on my side. It's the levels on the repeater probably need to be turned up a little bit. Just, crank the volume, and then if anybody comes in on RF, be prepared to turn it down. Oh no, am I still in there? W9PRK, KI9NG.
Yep, still got you. I gotta do some writing of things down when I'm in the truck getting loaded.
Oh, Roger. Yeah, okay. You must be on the All-Star node, huh?
Well, at least we know it's successful for the day.
Yeah. Just go ahead, pull in front of me and slam on the brakes. That's a really good idea. Don't worry, I could stop on a dime. Yeah. You're not working, are you?
I most definitely am. Yep. I'm heading to Kingston Ridge. It's over in the big town of Lowell.
P. Stain Bridge. Okay. Yeah, well, maybe if you put some concrete on it, it won't be pea stained anymore, huh?
Oh, somebody's ears aren't working, or I'm not speaking right. Kingston, like your call sign, Kingston Ridge.
Oh, okay. Never heard of that. I don't know where that is. So, yeah, good stuff. Yeah, it's pretty warm today. We got 26 degrees up here in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And, I'm running that one. There ain't no chance of me stopping at that one. Yeah. It's gnarly, buddy. They had about 4 inches of snow on the dock that I had to pull into. So I had to call my dispatcher and tell him, hey, I'm not, this my truck, my driver's not pulling in that dock until you clear it. Because, yeah, there was no way I was going to get out of there once I got the weight off the drive. There's no way I would have made it out of that dock. But, yeah, how's it looking down there?
We had a few flurries this morning, and, it's cold, as it normally is. So, yeah, where I'm headed is just on the west side of town of Lowell before 41. There's a new subdivision out there.
Oh, roger that. Go, make some houses happen. As far as the low audio, not sure. I assumed at first that you were coming in on RF on the on the base station there into the W9LY, and that could have been my level. I am reading just a little bit low on my levels on this side. But not very much, and I know it fluctuates a little bit, but it's good you got that. It's good you got it going there. I heard you on the DMR radio too. I'm gonna when you come back, I'm gonna listen on the DMR radio, see how it sounds.
All righty. Hopefully, it sounded well on your DMR radio as well. And I'm going to have to jump out of here for a second and spray some water on this drum and clean my fins from just getting loaded, and then I'll be back in it. I think some of the quiet problem was this truck was revved out to about 2,300 RPM, and I couldn't hear you. And I can hear you fine when it's not screaming.
Okay, copy that. Yep. Now I'm on the DMR radio talking to you, so... Maybe it's way louder now. Who knows? It's obviously crisper, at least. Hayden's been using his 7550 to access his All-Star node, and it sounds, just chef's kiss. Yeah, it sounds fantastic. And I was talking to him about his MDC squawk. He can use that MDC squawk for access control. Basically, he can make his All-Star node. You could do it, too. Make your All-Star node listen for an MDC squawk of your choosing. And if it doesn't hear it, then don't open the repeater, right? Or don't open the hotspot up. But have fun squirting that water on stuff. 7-3 for now. I'll be in the truck all day. KI9NG.
All right, I'm back in the truck. W9DRK.
Yeah, rest of that. Yeah, the Motorola has different sound profiles, and I've got it set on loud environment, so it's specifically tailored for loud environments, and it's very, very piercing. And it's not very pleasant. We're going to have to put it back to normal, I think. I know, and guess what? You can't do that from the faceplate. You got to hook it up to the CPS.
Oh, that's not very exciting. Hey, my door's open.
No, it's not. That comes in handy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you should use your door. Kind of helps keep the funk in.
Yeah, it really comes in handy when the door is latched. Especially in this little cab. Not much room.
Yeah, okay. Now that I'm on the Motorola and you're getting digital to analog, how does that sound to you on your side compared to how I was earlier?
You're clear. It's, you know, you've got typical digital voice sound with you, but other than that, sounds fine. Well, apparently one of us trapped the repeater. Heavy iron, PRK.
Video broke, but I got a phone call there. PA9NG.
Hey, you're back. Good time to hear you that time. Just gotta have my window down a little bit.
Something about a window and something else. I don't know what else. But, yeah, you're there. I gotcha. Yeah, I've got to go load some steel here, so I'll catch you in a bit there, Rob. 7-3 for now, KI9NG.
All righty. Talk to you later. WIBRJ.
KI9NG, back in the truck for a bit here.
What do you rattle on about? W9PRK.
Oh, you know, same crap. You sit in the truck and wait so that they can load me up so that I can drive a 25-minute drive in 45 minutes and get paid $90.
I get to see if they're going to honor this new contract work where our union halls are dealing with. They've got me up in Lake County, which is a 142 area, and due to area standards, they're supposed to start paying me 142 scale as soon as I get a ticket to come in their area. We'll see if that happens today.
Yeah, well, yeah, the power of the union. I'm sure you guys will make sure that they pay you right. Or they'll have a rat in front of that building, right?
Well, the problem with it is it's above the drivers and workers' pay grade that's happening. So we got no real say over it. But if they don't pay us like they're supposed to, they will just shut us completely down. And they can figure it out on their own.
Okay, well, that sucks. Yeah. They got probably 4 or 5 inches of snow here last night. All lake effect. And it's looking like it's tapering off now. But, yeah. Hey, did I ask you, if I did, whatever, I'll ask you again. Did you get any pictures of the aurora the other night?
No aurora pictures. I'm over it. Seen it, took a few pictures. I do know that HF was completely useless last night, and most of the day, actually.
Yeah, copy that. Now, the other thing, though, that I heard through the grapevine was that 6 meters opened up. Now, did 6 meters open up because there was an aurora, or did everybody realize that 6 meters was open because all the other HF fans were dead?
I don't know. Didn't try anything on 6 meter. I did make an Arizona contact on 20 meter. They didn't move my meter, but we made the contact, and that was the only HF contact I made yesterday.
You're lucky to get that one. Yeah, they'll be up and down for a couple days, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it's not going to be good. Winter field day might be a bust. With days like this, it's gonna not be fun.
I don't know. I don't. To me, it's like it's going to be open to somewhere. And yeah, maybe we won't get as many contacts, but usually it's like nonstop anyway. So it's like, I mean, somebody's going to hear you. I think it'll be fun. I think it's good fun. Hey, 75% of the fun of winter field day is hanging out with the dudes anyway, right?
Yeah, one way or another, it'll end up being fun. Who knows? We'll see what happens come Saturday.
Yeah, roger that. Now, if I wanted to break the rules, I could ask, what's his name? Danny. I could ask Danny, the tower owner. Ask him if he'll let me use his 6-meter beam up on top of the tower.
Yeah, I might just end up coming to hang out with you guys. I don't know. So going to be awfully chilly at the state park, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you've talked to him, but make sure you let Jim know what you're doing.
Yeah, he was wanting to come out to the state park as well, so we'll see how I feel about it come, you know, Saturday morning. Might end up just go ahead and dragging the camper up there anyways. Or just sit in the truck and play for a few hours and call it a day.
KI9NG. Yeah, either way. Play it safe, man. No exposed flesh. that'd be bad news if you come out of winter field day with some frostbite, huh?
Is it really winter field day if you don't freeze at least one finger off?
Yeah, well, you got a point there. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping John, he usually brings this old Viberplex bug with him, and I'm hoping he'll play with it. I've never, Yeah, I've been wanting to try messing with a bug. You're familiar with that technology, aren't you?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. That would be fun.
Yeah. I've got bug mode on my 991. So you use a regular paddle, and you get automatic dits and manual DAWs. And it was hard. I didn't keep playing with it. But I wish they'd add that feature to the QMX. I could probably request it. I bet Hans would put it in the next 6 months if I requested it. It's probably a pretty simple thing to add.
On a totally unrelated topic, this is the most Monday Wednesday of my life so far this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had one of those a few weeks ago when after Christmas, after New Year's, came back to work. It was a Monday, Tuesday. It was the most Monday, Tuesday I'd ever had, for sure. And I didn't like it. I did not like it. It was like Monday all week long, too, right up till Friday. Yeah, I didn't like that week. I'm still not feeling it, man. All this snow, but it just doesn't feel worth it. I mean, if I crash, I either die or don't work for a while until I get another truck, or I lose my job. Those are the three possible options if I crash, or if somebody crashes into me, right? And I don't know. Just doesn't feel like it's worth it for a few hundred bucks a day.
I completely agree with you there. Yeah. But in my predicament, the roads aren't bad at all, so can't really complain. It's just annoying and cold, and I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Roads are terrible here, but now I gotta crawl down 196 on the way home. Either that or 131. Take your pick. Pick your poison. One of them's, yeah. The 131 better, but it's a lot longer of a travel, of a journey. And then 196 is quite a bit shorter, but it's going to be horrible and going slow. And, well, whatever. See how long it takes me to make this 25-minute trip up to Speed Rec.
KD9A3Y. Hey, we're trying to get somebody else. What's happening, Hayden? 79GRJ. Not too much. Just wanted to tell Bill that I decided yesterday to pick up a bunch of propane tanks for the little buddy heater, so at least we'll have a little bit of warmth for Saturday.
Oh, very good. Very good. Now, don't throw those out. I'll take them from you if you don't want them. I'll refill them for you. Well, I've got one of those tank-mounted ones that you can put on the big LP tank. It's not like little buddy style. It's the, you know, older school style. So, yeah, I'll bring that too. And, yeah, anyway. I'm sure Rob's going to have some. I think Rob said he's got a little buddy that he's bringing with him out to the park if he goes too. Ain't it, Rob?
Yeah, I got the little single burner buddy heater with the propane tank hose attachment and it's a 5 pound propane tank. I've never seen the 5 pound tank. I have the hose to connect to a 20 pound tank, but that's a little bit less portable. I've never seen a 5 pound tank. That'd be a good size though.
Yeah,
the 5 pounder is awesome. I use it for ice fishing. Same connection as a 20, so it's way more convenient. It'll last all day too.
Yeah, one of those. That's neat. I don't know where do you even get a 5 pound tank from, Rob?
Menards.
Okay. Yeah, well, like I said, I bought the 1 pound refill adapter, and I've refilled them. You got to weigh them, because I've created a couple that are snowman shaped in the past by overfilling them. But you fill them up and they only fill up about halfway. But then if you put them in the freezer and then try to fill them again, then you can fill them up more, and then you can put them in the freezer again and refill them again, and then they're overfull. But if you weigh them each time, then you can put exactly 1 pound in them, and then they don't turn into snowmen.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about the 5 pounder. I just go to Tractor Supply and they fill it for me. 5-pounders are more expensive to buy than 20-pounders. Looks like Ace Hardware and Home Depot have them. They're like 60, 70 bucks.
Yeah, and that's just an empty tank. Yeah, they're a little spendy, but they're for convenience, they're definitely worth it.
TI-9NG. Yeah, I could see it. It's worth it. That sounds worth it. I mean, it's going to last you forever if you don't leave it out in the freaking in the rain and sun and stuff. So, yeah, just a little less convenient to have to refill it instead of swapping it out, but oh well.
Tell you what, I'm glad I'm in the truck today. These guys don't look warm out there boring this wall.
Make sure you roll the window down and tell them to stay warm.
How do you say that in Spanish?
Yeah, I'm sure they would have lots of chingas and madres and all kinds of nasty things to say to you if you said that.
I just had to turn the heat off in my truck. It was too hot in here.
Mantente caliente, mis amigos.
No
problem. Oh, that's great. Well, see, now something that I want to figure out how to do is, because I'm on a computer here, I could have piped that from the computer to IAX RPT, and I want to be set up for that.
I was doing all kinds of fun stuff when I had that soundboard hooked up. Radio and playing on 11 meter with some guys. You can send all kinds of weird stuff over the air.
Speaking of, there was quite the circus on 3927 the other night.
That's what you were saying. I read that. It's kept interesting there. You want to here's some good stuff. Go up to 3995, and I don't know, about 10 o'clock at night or so. It's pretty rowdy.
Hey, Bill, is there a way to turn off face down mute from the front panel?
Yes, sir. Press menu. Utilities. Radio settings, face down mute. And that's the only way that I've found to enable or disable it. I don't think you can enable or disable it in the CPS.
Well, I looked through the menu and never saw that. Apparently I'm blind, but yeah, it doesn't work real well when you're laying down and trying to rip the top on the radio.
I didn't think that. Yeah, that could be annoying. It's pretty sensitive. Like, it doesn't have to be face down. It's just, like, mostly. Like, I think it's, like, 45 degrees where it starts to think that it's face down. Yeah. Okay, you found it, right? Because if not, you'll have to go in the CPS, and there should be some kind of setting to enable or disable it under the menu option.
Yeah, I found it. I just didn't go deep enough into the menu. Did you see that 7550 I sent to the group message there, just in case Rob wants to join the Motorola crew?
Rob is not joining the Motorola group.
Yeah, I don't know, man. 250 is a good price. Like, yeah. I mean, it's more than just the 250 though. It's 250, and now being a Motorola guy, and whipping out the CPS anytime you want to do anything.
I got nothing. He's trying to figure out conventional ham radios. I don't need a tack on Motorola too. My hillbilly brain might explode.
There's a refined simplicity to it, though. Once it's set up, like, you can't mess it up. So Rob could, or Bill could assist you in setting up the radio, and then you'll be good to go and have all the fancy features and can't mess it up.
You very much underestimate my ability.
Oh, no, I've just seen some of the guys at PDs that they give radios to.
Spare point. I don't know. It's kind of content with what I got, really. But it's always fun to learn something new, I guess. I am trying to pick up a Yaesu FT. It's either the 818 or the 817. I'm not sure which one he has. But it's taking forever to get back with me.
I could lock you out of absolutely everything. The only thing you could do is change the channel and press the PTT. It'd be hilarious.
Those little QRP radios with 50 watts is pretty capable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of excited to get it. And I've got a plan for it. It's going in a certain bag that's going to also contain what you would call a cordless hole puncher. Nice little bug-out prepper bag build.
Oh, I'd like to see that. Cordless hole punchers seem to go well with radios. I've never really seen a kit with one, though. That sounds great. That'd be a good, I'll tell you what, that Lab 599 TX500 MP, that would go well with cordless hole punchers.
Yes, it would, but I'm going to go with the Yaesu just for the price point, and yeah, it'll go in a nice backpack that'll blend in with the populace, not practical whatsoever, and yeah, have one of those 10-inch SBRs, they call it, with a folding backside, so it compacts down to about, 12, 14 inches.
All righty, well, I've had enough of you guys. I'm going to go get my trailer ready and get some steel put on. I'll be back in a while. 7-3 for now. KI9NG.
All right, Bill, 7-3. I'm going to sit here and wait my turn to pour concrete. 39PRK.
I'm going to continue to lounge with the intent of eventually falling asleep. I'll catch you guys later. KD9AJY.
Good night, Hayden. W9BRK. W9BRK.
Alrighty, we are 2 hours and 15 minutes into making $90. Yay! It only took them an hour and 45 minutes to load me up. And then 35-minute trip here. Yeah. But everything's awesome. I love work. Work is my favorite place. KI9NG.
That is not exciting whatsoever. I am sitting here waiting to get loaded to head out to the NIPSCO Schaefer Station facility to add more concrete to the massive data center project going on.
Oh boy, should be a late-ish day for you then, huh?
We'll see what happens. Only got 120 yards going out there today, depending on how fast they pour. I should be load 5, so 50 yards of that 120. And, yeah, we shall see. But I did get the confirmation we are closed Friday and Saturday, so that's lovely. Looking at the weather models, though, what's not lovely is that storm that was supposed to go south has now moved north.
You know, I was looking at what Ryan Hall had to say about that, and it's interesting. This whole thing is being driven by a high pressure, and that makes it not a storm. So, yeah, I wouldn't put too much faith in the forecast at this point. It's kind of a different scenario than I think the models are accustomed to. And so, yeah, I mean, it'll get more and more accurate as we get closer, but I don't know about that. We'll see.
Yeah, no telling. I guess count the inches after it's done snowing, or if it even snows. Who knows?
Yep. That's right. When will people learn that they should never put city in their name, because then all of us smart Alex will replace the word city with a different word that means poopy?
That is a good question. Probably never.
Oh boy, this place hasn't seen a plow at all. Oh boy. Oh well, not that bad. I got 120 plus 1,000 pounds on the deck right now. I don't have to worry about it. But, yeah, that puts me well over 164. So, yeah. Hopefully I'm done after this. I can start bouncing back. It'll be a long journey. Oh, boy. Yeah. I don't know. Looks like maybe we might be done with lake effect for a few days, though. So I'll come into work tomorrow and, yeah. But, yeah, I got to go check in here over at Speed Rack, so then give them some steel so that they can make more of those industrial rack units, mostly for Amazon. So, but, we'll catch you later. I'll be back in 45 minutes or so. KI9NG.
All right, well, enjoy being the heaviest snowplow of the day. WMAP-TRK.
KAHUGB Mobile on 14697. W9LY, 2 meters, repeating.
Good afternoon, W9PRK coming in from an all-star node. Oh, where am I? I'm in DeMont.
W9PLP Mobile.
Noon on the all-star.
Ah, there was a second station in there. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. W9PLP Mobile. Hi, Tony. I'm RF.
Hello, Dave. So we're just here on Whitaker, looking down towards the lake, looking at blue skies, white fluffy clouds, and I see a good amount of ice out on the lake, but certainly not frozen over, but there's a lot of ice out there.
Well, maybe come after this weekend, might be able to go out there and punch some holes and catch some fish.
Well, you know, we've been down here for a while. You know, we moved down from farther up in Michigan. And we've seen the lake frozen over, but never frozen over to where it would be safe to even think about going out on it, because of the way the ice had formed in shelves. You know, we were down there one year with a couple of our girls down there, and they said, "Dad, can we step out on the ice?" So we took them out on the breakwater instead, so they could see why you don't step out on the ice, because you could actually see the gaps opening and closing. I said, "Yeah, we can go out there, but there might be where you go, and we'd never find you."
I did not take into consideration that this repeater is linked to a bunch of stuff right now. I was assuming you were talking about the lake there in La Porte. You were apparently talking about Lake Michigan, and absolutely not would you ever catch me walking out on the shelf ice.
Yeah, of course, the lake in La Porte being relatively shallow. So when I was a boy, I played like a boy. We lived in Portage, Michigan, and there are some lakes out there, West Lake, Austin Lake, and the like. And I used to go skating, and we'd skate all the way across the lake. But I can still remember skating across the lake, and as we're scooting along, you would see the water, the air bubbles under the water, under the ice. And realizing, even as a small boy, my weight was making those bubbles move. So I just kept moving. I was afraid if I stopped, I might move downward instead of horizontally.
I've been through the ice a couple times in my life. The worst one, I was actually down in West Virginia. Didn't even know I was on ice. I was a tree trimmer at the time. We were walking a power line going to find some issue, and I found a ditch that had ice on it, and I went right through. By the time they got me back to the work truck, I had two people, one on each side of me, carrying me into the truck because I was a popsicle.
Yeah, I've been through the ice, not with fishing, but skating. We were on a pond in behind my grandparents' home on a farmer's pond, and we were skating along. And as we decided, okay, it's time to go in. Well, we were going to go in a place where we hadn't come out. That was a mistake. And it was on the backside of 20 acres. And man, let me tell you, that was a mistake. We were, oh my gosh, I was so cold. My skates and everything else was full of water and starting to ice up by the time I got home. And I can still remember my grandmother. Anyway, she snickered a little bit, and then she had me take my socks off, and she had me put my feet in cold water, but it felt like hot water.
Absolutely. Yeah, you definitely don't want to try and warm up with hot water right away. It's a good way to cause way more issues. And been there, done that myself. It's not pleasant.
All right, Dave, what kind of funny stories do you have, mister? He doesn't have any stories to share, I suppose. But he can tell you about what happens when something comes through the roof. And I'm hoping to hear good news about that. Some of the stuff is repairable. Well, sirs, whoever's out there listening, I'm actually running around here with the bride. We're going to stop and get some lunch. Then I get to go back to the office again. But anyway, out there in the all-star world, good afternoon to the all-stars. You're all winners. This is KAUGP. We're going to jump out and go get some lunch.
All right. Well, enjoy your lunch. I'm going to sit here underneath this concrete plant and wait to get this truck loaded to go deliver some concrete. W9PRK.
W9DLP listening on W9LY repeater. Why? Because we like you.
W9DRJ. DRJ.
And 9YOU.
Said, here you go, and this is what to do. Anyway, Saturday. So far, is looking good. I'm going to give Danny a reminder tomorrow morning there, that, we're coming out for the winter field day, so we'll see how this all works out. 8 o'clock this Saturday at his tower. And I don't know how much room we're going to have, but, he knows we're coming, and has always suggested to bring a chair. Just to make sure we got enough for everybody, so forth. And at the youngest, we're doing 8 to 4. We'll go as long as there's interest. You know, so anyway, that's it. Back to you there, Kurt, K9PGC.
Question. Got you there, Mike. Okay, John, thank you for that information. Go ahead, Mike, with your question.
I was just curious. I know we're going to be inside, and but I'm wondering if it's going to be heated or not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's heated in that garage. It's going to be nice and toasty.
Roger that. Roger on the toasty. Okay, thanks, Kurt. Back to net control.
No problem at all, Mike. And just to reiterate, Hayden says they're bringing heaters. I think the concrete floor is heated in that garage, if I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken. But anyway, they might have a chill here and there, but it's supposed to be super cold Saturday. And now I'm going to reiterate what John was saying. Yeah, definitely bring a chair. There is booth that you can sit in. Danny has like a 50s-style diner set up in his barn there that you can sit in, but that's not going to be too close to the radios. Definitely bring a chair, and if you feel like bringing any kind of, like, donuts or something like that, feel free. I don't think anybody would turn those down. And if you just want to bring yourself, that's fine, too. All right, John, well, thank you for that. Since you're mobile, I'm going to assume no useless information, correct?
I do have a backup piece of useless information I can kick out when the time comes, so that'll work out. It's actually something that did come out of the mailbag, so it wasn't my idea, but I welcomed it.
Okay, very good. And you never know, you might already be home by the time it gets to that point, so... We will come back to you, John, for useless information if you're available. Thank you for checking in. Drive careful on your way home, and we'll hear from you shortly. Any other club officers, please call now. Okay, hearing nothing, I will now move on to mobile or short-time stations. Mobile or short-time stations, this is AC9HO Net Control. Please call now. This is KE9ALK. Okay, we got KE9ALK, Thomas, for short time or mobile, I'm not sure which. Thomas, do you have anything for the net? Yeah, sorry about that, I cut myself short. I am mobile and currently in Union Mills. And nothing for the net, just driving from point A to point B. Thank you for doing the net, and good to hear everyone out there. KE9ALK. Okay, Thomas, very good. Well, drive careful out there, and thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week. And definitely stay warm. It's going to be a chilly one. All right, any other mobile or short-time stations, please call now. Okay, hearing nothing on mobile or short-time, we'll now move on to the Hamdot Live list as I have it currently. And first on the list, we have N9ROM. Bob, do you have anything for the net?
N9ROM, Bob, report. No, nothing for the net. Just doing some more work on my mobile, trying to get radio in. Took me a while to find some RJ9 connectors, but for the remote head, finally found them in my many boxes of junk. But so I'm kind of coming along with that. Outside of that, it's nice to hear everybody on there. Thank you for doing the net, Kurt, and back to you, N9ROM.
Okay, Bob, well, very good. That's a good project for you. I know that that head holder you designed with your 3D printer, that's going to be pretty slick. Might be another thing that if you were interested in selling, I'm sure they would sell like hotcakes too, so. Well, Bob, thank you for checking in. Good luck with that. Keep us posted on how that's doing, because now on the chat you could easily post pictures, so that's kind of cool. Thanks for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week. Next on the list, we have KD9PYT. Rob, do you have anything for the net?
This is KD9PYT, Rob in Washington. Nothing in particular. Would like a quick signal check just to be sure hooking up a triplexer with the idea of going to another antenna out there, a three-band antenna. So right now it's just hooked up to the 2-meter connection. So back to net control.
Well, I can tell you it's working for you. You're sounding loud and clear, full quiet in into the repeater. And I can hear you on the reverse. I did not get a signal strength on it, but I'm going to guess you're about an S7, S9 to me here, which we're not too awful far apart, but that's doing pretty good for you. What kind of power are you running?
I think I'm running at 50% of the unit, so that's probably like 50 watts.
Okay, yeah, I think that 9700, if I'm not mistaken, is 100 watts on full power. So, yeah, that's got to come in handy on 2-meter. Well, Rob, it's sounding really good. No issues here. And like I said, I got you on the reverse at a very strong, I would say at least an S8, S9. So I'd have to unlock it and change the frequency on the other band. I don't want to do that in case I bumped the wrong knob. But, yeah, it's sounding really good. Is it all you needed?
Yep, that's all I needed. It's a little too cold to go out and put a new antenna up, so I won't have it for a while. Back to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't blame you there. No antenna work for me either. Actually, there hasn't been much work of anything other than work itself going on around this household. So just haven't been motivated during this dreary weather. I don't like wintertime. Ruins my mood. All right, Rob, well, thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week. And stay warm out there. And next on the list, we have KD9HAY. Hayden, do you have anything for the net?
KD9HAY. One thing I got for the net, looking forward to seeing who braves the cold, makes it out on Saturday. know a couple of us early. Did give you a dust, and that seemed to work pretty well. Other than that, I don't think I have anything further to add, but thanks for taking the net tonight, Kurt. And we'll see everybody Saturday. KD9ATOY back to net control.
Okay, Hayden, with that Motorola at the end. Heard that. And I see that you posted here that it was 40 to 50 in there last year, which seems kind of low. I know it's heated, and I'm pretty sure the concrete's heated. So maybe Danny just didn't turn it up. Maybe if he's there, he'll turn it up a little bit. But, yeah, you might want to – it felt warmer than that to me, but I guess I was not cold that day. But, so you might want to bring some jackets just in case, and maybe wear some thicker socks just in case, too. But I know that floor shouldn't be too cold. I'm almost positive that's got a heated floor. So even if it is set at 40 or 50, the floor won't be super, no, it won't be as cold as my floor in my pole barn. It's frozen. But, all right, Hayden, well, thank you for checking in. I do have to ask, what radio are you running? I'm pretty sure that's a Motorola, right?
XPR 7550E.
I didn't hear it that time. I will tell you this. If you're going to use that radio on your All-Star and you go to the, what's it called, East Coast Reflector, which is a very, very busy node or reflector, they call it. It's got 100 and some nodes and repeaters and whatnot connected to it. Kind of like the KCY of All-Star, it seems. I haven't found any other bigger than that yet. If anybody wants to check out their website, just Google East Coast Reflector. They have a really cool website with a magazine. So they're pretty involved. But anyway, if they hear something like that on a courtesy tone or something or a Roger beep, they will actually get on there and say, hey, can you please turn that off when you're on our system? They don't want anything like that going across the system. So I hear... If I understood it correctly, it actually messes with some of the nodes, you know, because of the tone, I guess. You know, certain tones might set something off or turn something off or whatever, which, yeah, I don't know. But I guess they've had problems with it. So they'll actually say something to you. All right, Hayden. Well, thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week. That completes the ham.live list as I currently have it. So now we're going on to general check-ins. Anybody anywhere? This is AC9HO Net Control. Please call now.
Net Control. Net Control, please log Alpha Charlie 9, X-Ray November George from Highland, Indiana. No traffic for the net.
Net Control, W9DLP and Company, DSK. No traffic.
This is...
Charlie Oscar, Bob in Rental Air, no traffic.
This is a Kilo Charlie Zero, Foxtrot, November Echo, Mike in Mishawaka.
This is November 9, Oscar Kilo Alpha, N9OKA, Mike LaPorte. With traffic.
Okay, I know I missed one station there, but we'll do the list here. Acknowledging AC9XN, W9DLP, KD9BSK, KC0FNE, and N9OKA. There is a station in Rensselaer. I missed your call sign because you and KC0FNE keyed up at the same time, even though he only keyed up for a second. Just long enough to cover up your call sign. So the Rensselaer station, please call again.
Kilo 9, Delta, Charlie Oscar.
Okay, we got K9DCO. Robert, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, very good. We will come back to you in a minute. I'm going to start at the top of the list and work our way down. AC9XN, George, Sounding much better this week. How are you doing? Do you have anything for the net?
Alpha Charlie Niner, Hotel Oscar. Very good evening to you, Kurt, and everyone participating in the LaPorte County Amateur Radio Association Club Net tonight. This is Alpha Charlie Niner, X-ray November in Highland, Indiana. And it looks like there's going to be some real cold temperatures this weekend, so I may not make it out to the field day event at the repeater site. But other than that, somebody had some questions about the Porter County event, and if anybody has that information, I'd appreciate if they'd relay it on the net tonight. Alpha Charlie 9 X-ray November. Back to you, Kurt. 7-3.
Okay, George, very good. Much better this week than you were last week into the repeater, so that's a shame. I totally understand, though. That's a long way to go, because I'm not exactly sure where you're located, but I know you're not super close. But it's a long way to drive in that kind of cold. Last thing you want to have is like a flat tire or something like that. So we totally understand, maybe next year. But there's all kinds of summer events coming up, too. George, thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and good rest of your week. And to George's question before we move down the list, does anybody have information on the Porter County Winter Field Day? Somebody keyed up there. I don't know if they meant to. George, I'm looking back on my notes here, and I'm trying to see... I wrote anything down for Porter County. I don't think I did. But stay tuned. Somebody might jump in here in a minute and let us know if there is anything going on, which I'm sure there probably is. But I do not know off the top of my head. We'll call one more time anybody with information on Porter County Winter Field Day. I can tell you they do have a website. I'm trying to pull up right now. And there it is. See if they have anything on there. Upcoming events. Hang on a second.
Well, they had an announcement on the AriesNet last night, but they didn't say exactly where it was. They did say they were having a field day event on Saturday somewhere in Valpo, and then someone called me on my phone and asked me if I knew where it was, and I did not. So I was hoping maybe I could get a fill tonight. So I'll stick around. Thank you, Kurt. Thank you for all you do for the net. Alpha Charlie 9 X-ray November.
Okay, George, my apologies for not having that information. I'm actually on their Facebook even. I didn't see anything on the website for Winter Field Day. They got their regular field day, summertime, in there. But I'm not seeing anything on the Facebook either. So, yeah, stay tuned. Maybe somebody will jump on. I'll ask again in a little bit and see if anybody knows. It'll be... too late by then. I was going to say I'd have it on NextNet, but that's too late. but if you can get on one of their repeaters, somebody might be able to help you there. But we'll keep trying for you. Next on the list, if I didn't say so, George, thanks for checking in. Have yourself a good evening. Good rest of your week. Next is W9DLP. Dave, do you have anything for the net?
I thought I did, but now I can't think of it, so we'll go with the negative for right now. And again, like always, thanks for great help with the siren test, and that'll come up here in a couple of weeks. So, nope. I'll wait for warm weather and start reconstructing. All my vertical antennas are horizontal because my tower's laying across the roof. So,
that, I'll
turn it back to Net Controls.
That'll be 9 DLP. Yeah, sorry to hear about that, Dave. That's definitely a bummer, but the good part is you're going to have a new tower possibly soon. So that might be a good thing. I know Hayden posted something here. They're moving to Ogden Dunes Fire Department around 6 or 7 p.m. Central Time on the 24th to continue operations through the night and into the next day. The fire station is located at 111 Hillcrest Road, Ogden Dunes, Indiana. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email bod@pc-arc.net. Text or call. There's a number here. Or reach out to us via Slack, if you remember. Nothing about during the day. And I wonder if that's because, Hayden, sorry, Dave, kind of took your time here. That same day, they're doing a ham-cram entry-level technician course from 8 to 6 p.m. That might be why they're not doing anything until 6 or 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Because they're doing that ham-cram entry-level course on January 24th, and it's all day. So, good on them, for sure. All right, Dave, well, good luck with your antennas there and your tower hunt. Keep us posted on the ongoings there and how things are going. Let me ask you, are you going to be okay to do the siren nest? Are you going to need assistance or anything like that?
No, I use this radio right here, or I got a Motorola I can use. So, no, thanks for asking. If I do, I'll let you know.
Okay, very good. Yep. If myself or somebody, we can give you a hand if we need to. But, yeah, you're full quiet in there. It's like nothing's ever happened. Of course, you know something happened. You got an extra thing hanging from your ceiling. All right, Dave, well, thank you for checking in. Thank Sue for checking in. I assume she doesn't have anything for the net. So we will move on to the next on the list is KC0FNE. Mike, do you have anything for the net?
Quick comment.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, when the tower came down, it twisted like above the blind joint. But when it came down, I played whack-a-mole. You got my chimney, which was a metal one, repairable, and it bounced off of that. And got my vent stack for my sewer, and that's what got pushed down through the ceiling. So it missed every shingle with that note back in there.
Holy cow. That's pretty crazy that it missed all, because you just got that roof not that long ago. So that's kind of good, I guess. But it's still overall not good, but I guess it's a silver lining. Well, thanks for that little tidbit. That's interesting. Thanks again for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and good rest of your week. Again, next is KC0FNE. Mike, do you have anything for the next?
KC0FNE. Really don't have anything for the net other than here in Mishawaka today. We had a high of 33 degrees. Presently it's 24 degrees. Supposed to get down to 16 degrees tonight and then probably in the double single digits the rest of the month. So dress warm, guys. That's all I've got. KC0FNE.
Who made that thing so long? I have no idea who might that have been. AC9HO net control. Mike, we heard everything you said. Don't worry. When you're talking, that turns down, so we heard everything. But, yeah, it's going to be a chilly one for sure. And I did not realize, because I guess I haven't looked that far in the future, that it could last all month. What does Mother Nature think? We're in winter? I don't know. But, yeah, it's not going to be fun. At least I work inside. I feel for the ones that have to work outside. So hopefully anybody out there that has to work outside or is outside a lot, dress warm and be careful. Mike, thanks for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week. Next on the list, we have N9OKA with traffic, which is every week, isn't it, Mike? Go ahead, Mike, with your traffic. We caught him sleeping. And 9OKA, This is AC9GHO. Do you have anything for the net? Yeah, that was my best Canadian accent. Didn't work out so well. But, Mike, I think you're sleeping. We might have to come back to you. We'll come back to you. Next on the list after Mike is K9DCO. Robert, I don't recognize your call. This might be your first time checking in, yes? Do you have anything for the net?
No, nothing really for the net. Yes, it is my first time checking in. I just got a new antenna put up around Christmas with a rotor on it, and I was just curious whether I could make the trip to the port or not. So, oh, I got Kurt, K9DCO.
Okay, well, I'm located south of La Porte, out by Kingsbury, if you know where that's at, the Kingsbury Wildlife area and places like that. Not too far from Kingsford Heights, but probably about middle from La Porte or Kingsford Heights is about the same distance. But anyway, and I can receive you just a little bit on the reverse. I probably got you about an S1. I'm not sure if I could hear you, but I can see your signal on my pan adapter here. So you're at least making it this far without a repeater. So it looks like it's working well for you. Do you know where this repeater is located?
Just from what it shows on the QRZ map, shows it in right in the port area there.
Yep, it's just outside the city limits, I would say. I don't think that's considered La Porte city limits. It might even be closer to Michigan City. There's a line right there, but it's right on one of the highest points in La Porte County and right by the toll road. So it's about 160 feet high, and we have another repeater. I'm not sure if you know about it, the 146.610 K9JSI. That one's up a little bit higher. So I imagine if you're getting into this one as good as you are, you're probably going to get into the 6-1 just as good. You're almost full quieting. You have a little bit of hash, but other than that, you're perfect into the repeater.
Well, I can't complain about that. 53 miles. So I think that's all I've got. So thanks, Kurt, for checking me in. K9DCO.
Okay, Robert. Well, thank you for taking the time to check in, and we like to help people diagnose their radios and audio and signal strength and whatever we can do to help you out. But whatever you got going there for 53 miles is working just fine. I wouldn't change a thing unless you go higher. That's about all I would ever change on most setups. So, Robert, thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening. Good rest of your week. We're here every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central Time. So feel free to join us. All right, we'll go back up the list to N9OKA, see if he's awake now. AC9HO, net control. Mike, do you have anything for the net? Well, you said you had traffic, so do you have your traffic? Maybe he's picking up the wrong microphone. Or maybe I just need to say all you can eat. Mike? Okay, well, I'm sure when he's available, he'll come back. So we will ask for more check-ins, general check-ins, anybody anywhere. This is AC9HO Net Control. Please call now.
Kilo India, 9 Echo.
KF9WW.
Okay, got two more there, KI9E and KF9WW. KI9E, are you on your HD? Because I remember last time you couldn't make it in with the HD. But it's sounding good tonight.
Hey, good evening, Kurt, and everyone on the net. I'm buffing in it tonight. I'm buffing HD on the UV5R. And checking in. And just one comment. I believe the new rules for the 60-meter band take effect on February 13th, if I'm not mistaken. the new changes that are coming in place there for the 60-meter bend are set to take place on the 13th there. Back to you, Kurt, KI-90.
Okay, Jim, thank you for updating us on that. I have not been following that, so the new 60-meter band rules take effect February 13th. That's the, where it gives you the middle channel. It's opened it up to where you can actually use your VFO and have a little extra space there. So, so that's cool. So thank you for letting us know. February 13th is the magic day. So any of you 60-meter guys, that's the day you can get on there and play radio with the new little bit of bandwidth they gave you. So, all right, Jim. Well, thank you for that. That bow thing's working pretty good. You got a little bit of hash with you, a little bit louder than, I can't remember who I said that to now. Might have been Robert. A little bit louder than Robert's hash. But you're considerably closer, too, so. But other than that, sounding really good. Definitely better than last week. We had a hard time last week. I think it was last week. I don't know. They all run together. Thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week. And next we have KF9WW. Sounds like you're coming in direct, not through the All-Stars anymore. And sounds really good. Mike, do you have anything for the next?
KF9WW, good evening. Mid-range power on the FTM-100D, and I now have antennas in the attic for 2 meters 440, so hopefully I'll be more consistent with my signals. Over.
Okay, very good. Yeah, it's working really well for you. It sounds really good. You have light hash in the background, probably right around the same as K9 DCO. Robert, maybe right around there, maybe a little less. But yeah, it sounds really good. Your audio is nice and loud and no problem getting in at all. But did you have those 440 antennas up over the weekend when we were testing or no?
They were up. Now I switched to high power, so I don't know if that makes any improvement. They were up, but I was still trying to configure how I was going to bring coax down from there into the shack.
Okay, very good, yeah. I mean, that took care of pretty much like 99% of the hash. Could even be just the hash I'm hearing in my headphones, too. That's from my radio. That could be what I'm hearing. But I don't know if it made enough difference to run it on high power all the time. Medium power was just fine. But cool. So we'll have to do some testing on 440 sometime. So look forward to it. Do you have anything else for the net, Mike?
No. I did something to the 220 radio and I can't seem to figure it out, so I had to order a new cable and reprogram it and hopefully get everything back online for that. But otherwise, I'm happy. I have antennas that I can now communicate with.
Yeah, and it's doing a very fine job. And you sent me those pictures of your shack, and man, that's pretty. It's a good-looking shack. You've done a real good job with it, that's for sure. Puts mine to shame. I got crap everywhere. I have no organization. I don't even really have a room of my own. I'm kind of sharing it with the family that lives in a house and some family that don't live in a house. So I got my own little corner. That's all I got. I could make it better, but yeah, I haven't got there. I'm definitely not to your level. It looks very good, and it's working very well. So congratulations on that. Look forward to hearing you more on here, and we'll chat more soon, I'm sure. Mike, thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week, and enjoy that new shack you got going there. All right, I checked in N9YOU. He said he had a phone call. He texted me, so So, Brian, if you can hear me, just jump in anytime you want if you have anything for the net. Now we're going to go back to N9OKA and see if he's back. He said he had traffic. Mike, if you are there, go ahead with your traffic. This is AC9HO Net Control. I wonder if Brian and Mike are on the phone together. All right, we'll come back to N9OKA here shortly and give him a chance to speak his traffic. We'll do one more call for general check-ins. Anybody anywhere? This is AC9HO Net Control. Please call now.
N9GSM reports. Net Control, N9GSM, Paul in LaPorte.
Yep, we got you there, Paul. I was just holding off for more stations. I thought I heard somebody else key up with you the first time, but you overpowered them, heard you, and 9VSN. But since we're here, Paul, do you have anything for the net?
No, not really. As you remember last week, I was having trouble hitting the repeater, and I believe I just didn't have the radio charged long enough. It has rechargeable batteries. The dinosaur icon. So hopefully sounding good on your end, and I appreciate the feedback there, and 9DSM.
Oh yeah, that sounds much better. I remember now you're by the police station, and I was saying, yeah, you should be getting in a lot better than that, even with an HT. But yeah, you're full quiet now. You sound good. I got the same hash that I hear on everybody, so I'm starting to think it's more on my end. But you do have a little bit of a hum. Do you have that HT plugged into a power source right now? You can talk over that if you want.
No, I am not plugged into a power source. I'm running strictly on batteries, and I consulted the manual and figured out how to power up. Anyway, I'm right next to the police station here. In fact, I just I stepped outside. I don't know if that makes a difference back over to you.
Well, yeah, it made a difference. It actually started to cut out, but that's what happens with HTs when you move around. But there was a spot where you cleared up even more. So I'm sure, like any HT, you find that happy spot, and it's going to be perfect. You're pretty close to a repeater as a crow flies, so shouldn't be too difficult for you to get into it with that HT. Are you running the high power right now?
Yes, sir, I'm on high power. I also have a Baifang or Beifang unit, and I think Brother Tony is going to help me figure out how to program it. I've had it for years, and I've never been able to get it programmed correctly. So I have that as well, and I'm hoping to upgrade to a nice mobile unit.
Okay, very good. Well, that's working for you. I mean, the audio sounds really good, other than that slight hum in the background, which I don't think is on my end because I don't hear it when you unkey. It goes away. So that could just be because it's an older radio that hasn't been used in a while. So maybe as you use it, that might go away. But it's working. I wouldn't complain at all holding a conversation with you one bit. Didn't you say that was an old ICOM?
That's correct. It's probably about 25 years old.
Yeah, the hum to me seems like it might be getting quieter the longer you talk, but ICOMs have almost a distinct audio, and I could almost tell that was an ICOM, even if you didn't tell me, but almost. It's not as distinct as some of the newer radios, but you could tell ICOM has some good transmit audio, so. It's working very well for you. Are you still currently standing outside? Because if you are, your signal is a little bit better than it was a few minutes ago.
yes, sir, that is correct. I'm outside, except I'm getting a little cold out here. If I may, I have a funny story, which has nothing to do with anything, but if you'll indulge me. I was cracking up. There was a semi-truck that went by. It was dragging a styrofoam, or not a foam wrap for about a half a block. You know what I mean? You know, the person coming out of the bathroom with the toilet paper behind them. And I looked over at the cops. I was laughing, and they took off after him like a bad, you know what? I thought it was hilarious. Anyway, I-9-DSN.
Oh, very good. Yeah, I understand that analogy there. And yeah, we like short little funny stories. We'll definitely make time for those anytime. So we even had a segment there for a little while where we do some like dad jokes and whatnot. So feel free if you got something like that. We don't mind at all. A little bit of laughter goes a long way. All right, Paul. Well, that radio is much, much better, which it wasn't all your fault. Last week, the repeater was having issues because everybody was having problems getting in that wasn't on a base or a mobile with an antenna up pretty high. So all the HTs were struggling. And tonight, I noticed anybody that I'm used to hearing on HTs sound much, much better. So yours is definitely working for you, and I would be happy with that the way you got it. And once you get that Baofeng going, that's totally understandable. Those are very hard to program, so once you figure it out, it's not too bad, but getting there can be difficult. So, but that should work well for you, too. Those are pretty good radios, and they don't sound too bad either most of the time. So, all right, Paul. Well, thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening, good rest of your week. Get back in that house and get warm. No point in staying outside. We heard you just fine inside, but I understand your testing, so makes perfect sense. All right, Paul. Well, have a good one. Thanks again, and maybe we'll hear you on here next week. All right. I am going to call for N9OKA again. Mike, if you're there, you had traffic, go ahead with your traffic. This is AC9HO Net Control. Ah, couldn't find my foot switch. A little concerning that Mike all of a sudden disappeared. Hopefully he's not having radio issues or any other kind of issues. I don't have his phone number or anything. I don't know if anybody wants to give him a jingle. But just to make sure everything's on the up and up. And for any newcomers, this net is a directed net. We try to keep it somewhat formal, but at the same time, especially if you're in a hurry, if there's something you absolutely want to say, feel free to jump in anytime. There's a I try to leave enough gap in between my transmissions for people to jump in. Feel free to do that, and we'll get your traffic, and then we'll keep on moving with the net once we're done. So I try to accommodate everybody and give everybody an opportunity. So, and I know sometimes time is precious. All right, this is AC9HO Net Control. I am going to go ahead and go on to the order or information part of the net, and we will ask for more check-ins in a little bit. So I'm going to let the repeater drop, and then we'll start with the information. AC9HO Net Control. All right, first on my list is Area Nets. Aries District 1, serving Lake, Porter, LaPorte, Jasper, and Newton counties. The Aries District 1 net is every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on the N9IAA repeater with a frequency of 146.685 and a peel tone of 173.8. There is also a net for GMRS licensed stations every third Thursday at 7 p.m. Central on the Valpo 1 repeater, 462.700, positive offset with a 141.3 PL tone. And don't forget, I have not heard it the last couple weeks, but I admittedly have been falling asleep. But Thursdays, the Aries Information and Training Net every Thursday at 8 p.m. Central Time on the K9JSI repeater, the sister repeater to this one, or brother, I don't know what you want to call it, with a negative offset and a 131.8 PL tone. And don't forget,
the LaPorte County Early Warning Siren Testing Net the first Saturday of every month on this frequency, 146.970 W9LY repeater. Beginning at 11 a.m., that's when the sirens will start. Please check in with Net Control Operator 30 minutes prior for updated location requirements. And the Net Control Operator is W9DLP. The next siren testing net will be February 7th. So if you can't go anywhere, or if you want to help out but you know you're close to a siren, you can sit right near Lazy Boy. As long as you can hear it and tell if it's a rotating siren, be able to tell Net Control that the siren is making noise and going round and round. And if it's a stationary, then all you got to tell them is it's making noise or not. So that's what we're looking for. We want to, we're there to see if they're working. That way, if they're not, hopefully they'll get fixed eventually. So that's the plan anyway. So if you're close to one, Dave would love for you to check in and be able to give him information. So, all right, Michigan Amateur Radio Club, or MARC, holds a weekly on the air net on the K90EW repeater 147.330, positive offset 131.8 PL tone. And if the K9DEW repeater is down, the net will be held on the WB9AGX repeater, 147.390, positive offset, 131.8 PL tone. I notice this headset can hear my chair very well. I can hear myself. I don't like it. My Pro 7 Heil headset, you can't hear anything but me. That's what I like. Sorry, I go off on tangents sometimes, but that's okay. Next, we have Fulton County Skywarn Net every Monday at 6 p.m. Central on the K9RCR repeater 442.700, positive offset 131.8 PL tone. Then we have the White County Amateur Radio Society Wednesday Night Net every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, competition, on the KC9PQA repeater 147.255, positive offset 131.8 PL tone. Head over there right now and give them some love if they're still going. Then we have the Frequency Coordination Net. Every Friday starts at 7:30 p.m. Central on the GMRS Valpo 1 repeater, 462.700, I believe. I don't know if I'm correct. I believe they start on that repeater and then move off to ham simplex frequencies, but I may not be correct on that. And last but not least, LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club Net. This net, every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. on this repeater, 146.970. This net will be an information net, and everybody is welcome to participate. And don't forget, it is Hamfest season. LaPorte County Cabin Fever Hamfest, February 28th. 2026, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the LaPorte County Fairgrounds. Entry fee is $8 for just general admission. Talk-in is 146.970, this repeater, and also the 146610, that repeater as well, 131.8 PL tone. We'll have BE testing, door prizes. As a matter of fact, I got confirmation. BioNO battery. Is donating door prizes. Once again, I was quite shocked 3 years in a row that they're donating door prizes. So, and we'll have food there. My wife makes a pretty mean sloppy joe that everybody likes to put on hot dogs, so come enjoy that at the very least. It's sponsored by the LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club, and for more information, you can go to the lpcarc.org/hamfest. And if you want to reserve tables, they're $15 a piece, $5 for electric, not each table, just $5 flat fee. So if you got 10 tables, you just pay $5 for the electric. And you can email cabinfeverhamfest, all one word, at gmail.com for table reservations. We also have a pay online. If you go to the website and go to the Hamfest, there is a button called... I think it's a credit card. I am not sure now. But anyway, that's where you can pay online if you want to reserve a table that way. So we have a couple ways. You can mail it in the mail, you can pay the day of, or you can pay online. Yes, the button is credit card. That's what it's called on the HamFest page. All right. Well, since I am on the web page, we'll go ahead and announce the LaPorte County Amateur Eagle Club Winter Field Day. It's January 24th, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Could go a little longer depending on who wants to stay. There's no hard and fast rule where you have to be out by 4 o'clock. So it will be a group effort, so if people want to stay, John and others will accommodate, I'm sure. And it is at the repeater tower. For this repeater, it's at Schultz Road and 35 North. The address, get your pencils ready. The address for the Winter Field Day is 3354 West Schultz Road, LaPorte, Indiana, 46350. Just put that in your GPS and it gets you right there. And again, it's 8 to 4 p.m. And the talk-in is going to be this repeater, 146.970. All right, club meeting and club news. The LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club meets the second Monday of every month at the LaPorte Seventh-day Adventist Church at 7 p.m. Central Time. The address is 1480 Boyd Boulevard, LaPorte. The next official club meeting will be February 9th. Membership is not required to sit in on a meeting, and meetings are not required to be a member. If you do attend the meetings, though, you are encouraged to stay and learn a few radio tips and tricks during our meeting presentations. We've had solder demonstrations, digital mode demonstrations, as well as remote operation demonstrations, and guest speakers from time to time. And if you have a topic or something you're very proud of, you know, specifically radio-related, but doesn't necessarily have to be, sure that's what interests everybody, but if you have something you want to talk about, just let us know. We'll make time for you. At the September meeting last year, we had Rachel Cobb and the year before from the National Weather Service to talk about weather emergencies and how ham radio plays a part in that. We would also like to announce that membership dues can now be paid online via the website. Just go to lpcarc.org, and on the left side of the homepage, click Club Membership. Then when the next page appears, you will see in the center of the page, Membership Form. And that is to fill out for our records. Specifically, what we would really like to have is your email. Then under that is the Pay Online button. Click the Pay Online and fill out all the fields on the next page. All fields must be filled in for the transaction to work properly. This feature is through PNC Bank, so it is secure. Come to our club breakfast, 8 a.m. the first Saturday of each month, conveniently before the siren testing, at the Sugar Bowl Restaurant, 402 West, US 20, Michigan City. Then we have another club breakfast every Thursday at 8 a.m. at Mama T's Diner, 607 Lincoln Way, LaPorte. And don't forget, Michigan City EMA is accepting applications. Just go to the Michigan City Police Station lobby, get your application, then whenever you get it filled out, come back and turn it in with attention to Captain Jesse. And if you're looking for a good opportunity to hang out with other ham radio operators or looking to learn more about radio and or POTA, come to the Potato Creek every Saturday, weather permitting. To play radio or just hang out, starts between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. Eastern, goes until about 3 or 4 p.m. Eastern. For more information about the Potato Creek POTA, get on the 147.330K9DEW repeater to find out the details on upcoming gatherings. And I know they haven't done a few because of weather, so definitely get on that repeater before you go traveling out that way. And this might be a good time to see if Brian, N9YOU, if he's still on the phone or ready to check in officially, and maybe he'll have more information on that Potato Creek. N9YLU, Brian, are you available?
What was that, Kurt? I'm still on the GX, but what was that?
Oh, no worries. If you're on the phone, hey, just real quick, you're not on the phone with Mike N9OKA, are you?
No, that I'm not.
Okay, I thought I'd ask because he hasn't been answering either. So go ahead and go about your business. We'll bother you another time. My apologies for bothering you already. So thank you for checking in. We got you down as a check-in, by the way. So if you happen to get down on your phone, feel free to jump in. All right, let's give Mike a call. N9OKA, Mike, are you there? And do you have your traffic?
Well, I'm embarrassed. I can't believe I nodded off there. Well, yeah, I got a couple things I wanted to discuss. First of all, I've been watching for your email with a copy of the your net there. I need a script to go by, and I haven't received it yet. I don't know what's if you forgot or what, but I haven't got it yet. And then I got a couple of news articles if anyone's interested.
Oh yeah, we like news articles, but apparently you have not checked your email in the last 2.5 hours, I would say. So thanks for that, Bob. Yeah, I was wondering if I bore you that much to sleep there, Mike. And Bob confirmed it. I should make a recording of my voice for those who suffer from insomnia. That's great, Bob. Thanks a lot. Oh, Mike, go ahead with your news stories. I'm going to chuckle a little more.
Now, as a matter of fact, I haven't checked my email in the last couple hours. I'll be sure to do that. First story here, a group representing 7 financial trading firms is pressing the U.S. Federal Communications Commission to respond to their petition submitted almost 3 years ago asking for permanent allocation of HF frequencies for data transmissions. The Shortwave Modernization Coalition is pressing FCC for an answer to its petition, which was filed in the spring of 2023. The group is seeking the authorization to transmit on the bands between 2 megahertz and 25 megahertz under Part 98 of the FCC rules. A number of the bands being sought either include or are adjacent to amateur radio bands. The coalition's original filing drew substantial opposition from amateur radio operators and the ARRL, citing the potential for interference. The ARRL said that in 2024, the IARUS monitoring system detected what was believed to be HF trading interference on the amateur portion of 20 meters. The U.S. Coast Guard also objected to the petition, saying additional traffic would raise the noise for everyone. And last year, 3 of the firms were given FCC approval as experimental licensees. They were prohibited from charging fees or receive payments for anything related to their on-the-air operations. The coalition believes that granting permanency will solidify their statute and business. KAH.
Yeah, I haven't been following that a whole lot, but yeah, I heard about that, that they want to use HF frequencies for trading because it's faster. I guess even a split second of a split second is a enough to make or break a deal or break a bid or whatever it is that they do, what these day traders do or whatever it is. Everybody's trying to infringe on our frequencies, that's for sure. That's why we got to keep using them like we are. If they keep hearing traffic on it, then we'll get to keep them. If they're dead, then I don't know. Could be up for debate. Do you have another one there, Mike, or was that it?
I have one more. I'm not familiar with it, but here it goes. Here it goes. APRF Digipeter be featured at Amcation. Many things visitors can look forward to at Amcation this month in Orlando, Florida, is using a Digipeter dedicated to users of APRF. If you're visiting the Amcation fairgrounds between the 13th and 15th of February, and you're bringing along an APRS-enabled device, tune it to 147.585 using a path of temp 1-1. That will get you into the Digipeter being set up by the Daytona Beach Amateur Radio Association, enabling you to connect with others at Amcation, sending and receiving messages. The Daytona Group is sponsoring the Digipeter activity and calling that APRS Day Out, allowing radio operators to practice the kind of networking skills that would come in handy during events like Amcation or during a crisis. Once you're connected, your first message should, of course, be CQ to everyone know you've arrived on the network. And there are more details about it at arnewssightline.org. arnewssightline.org. So that was it for me. There's another one. I don't know. Stick with this one here. arnewssightline.org. N9OKA. Back to net control.
Okay, Mike. Well, thank you for that. That's interesting. I thought I read something about that on Facebook, but I wasn't sure if that was the actual thing going on or not. So, for those of you going down to Dayton for the HamFest, HamVention there, check that out on arnewsline.org and get more information on that for APRS. Mike, do you know what APRS is?
Nope, I'm embarrassed. That's why I threw it out there, but no, don't have a clue.
Oh, no, don't be embarrassed, not at all. So, if you go to aprs.fi on any browser on your computer, you will then get a map, like Google Maps almost, but without, I mean, you can change it to where it's satellite view and you can actually see the roads and stuff like that, trees and whatnot. But you'll get a map and see all kinds of ham radio operators on there. That's all. Sorry, that stink bug on me. Anyway, you'll see all kinds of ham radio operators on there, and it gives their location. So check that out, aprs.fi. Just to give you an idea, let me see if I have it. Okay, didn't want Mike keying over me. But to give you an idea, Mike and anybody else that don't know, APRS stands for Automatic Packet Reporting System. So basically, like in my truck I'm driving around, I got a dual band radio, and it's APRS capable, and not all dual band radios are. On my bottom band, which some would call B band, I have APRS running silently, so I'll receive messages from other stations, and then every once in a while when I travel far enough, it will transmit a beacon, they call it, and it will give my information showing where I'm at on the map, and if I have a message saying hello or whatever, and then you can even send text messages to private phones. That's a little more detailed. You can send messages via APRS to other APRS users through your radio. So it's good for anybody that's in a highly used APRS area like California. If you go hiking, mountain climbing, things like that, you can take a radio with you. And if you get lost or whatever, or if you just want your family to know where you're at, it'll show where you're at on the map. So I had a buddy of mine when I went to Georgia. I told him that website and gave him my call sign because he's not a ham radio operator. And I said, just type that in and you'll be able to track where I'm at if I'm anywhere near a digipeater. If you're nowhere near a digipeater, APRS is no good. So whenever I was near one, he could see how far away I was from his house. So pretty neat stuff. All right, Mike, do you have anything else for the net?
No, that's it, Kurt. Thanks for the net, 7-3s to everyone out there. N9OKA, clear. Back to net control.
All right, Mike, let my voice soothe you into a nice slumber. And enjoy the rest of your evening. Thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week. And check your email whenever you get time. I send it to you. Feel free to print it out, throw it away, whatever you want to do with it. Make your own. At least now you got something to go by. You don't have to go exactly by that. And I'll go from there. And I will admit, I did forget, but I don't think anybody here that knows me is shocked. So I did forget. But I remembered when I sat down today, I'm like, yeah, I told Mike I was going to send that, so I did. So there you go. All right, Mike, again, thanks for checking in. All right. That brings us to John's useless information. John, if you're still there, KA9PGC, this is AC9HO Net Control. Go ahead, sir. Oh, boy. My voice put him to sleep, too. All right, maybe he's paying a toll or something, I don't know. All right, Bob, you go ahead and send him a text. I'll go ahead and do weather at a glance, because believe it or not, I'm actually kind of ready, and I don't know if anybody wants to hear it, because it's not going to be pleasant. So tonight, a 40% chance of snow, mainly before 11 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 15, breezy, with a west wind 15 to 20 miles per hour, increasing 20 to 25 after midnight. Winds could gust as high as 40 miles an hour. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 24. West wind 10 to 15, gusts as high as 30. Thursday night, a 20% chance of snow. Snow after midnight, mostly cloudy with a low around negative 1. Wind chill values as low as negative 20. Northwest wind 10 to 15, gusts as high as 30. Friday, a 40% chance of snow, mostly cloudy and cold, with high near 5. Wind chill as low as negative 20. Southwest wind 10 to 15, with gusts as high as 30. A 30% chance of snow on Friday night, mostly cloudy, with a low around negative 3. Northwest wind 5 to 10, becoming southeast after midnight. Saturday, a 40% chance of snow, mainly afternoon, mostly cloudy and cold with a low, they call it a high, but whatever, with a high near 9. Saturday night, snow likely, mainly after midnight, cloudy with a low around 5, chance of precipitation is 60%. Sunday, a 50% chance of snow, mostly cloudy and cold with a high near 14. Sunday night, 30% chance of snow, mainly after midnight, mostly cloudy with a low around 3. Monday, to start your week, a 20% chance of snow, partly sunny and cold, with a high near 12. All right, let's see if that text got through to John, K9PGC. This is AC98HO Net Control. If you have your useless information, we are ready.
Ah, it would help if I switched the right radio here. let's see here. Yeah, good evening again, Kurt, everybody else out there. This is K9PGC. Yeah, just got home, got through the door, all that stuff. Perfect timing to call me before I can get to the radio, but oh well, you know, leave it as that, but it's been a fun week so far. So anyway, I got to figure out where my notes are real quick, but basically, for those that may or may not remember, the old National Lampoon's holiday vacation movies, so forth, you know, with Chevy Chase. Well, there was one particular movie that actually, in the background, shows a nice KLM tri-bander on the neighbor. Now, if you remember one of those movies, they had, you know, the Christmas one, they had where he had all the lighting in the world, and it blinded the next-door neighbors and messed them up. Well, we have a guy that checked in here that he used to do that, but he electrically did it perfect, you know, and it didn't just light up the neighborhood, and I'll keep his name out of it for the moment there, but it did look beautiful, you know, the amount of lighting he had on that whole house and so forth. Well, anyway, what I sort of lost on my notes in there, and partly where my head is at, is a particular house in this movie was used in a lot of other places too, but the National Lampoon's Vacation is the exact movie I'm thinking of. The funny thing about that is they wanted that tower and tri-bander to be in the movie. Okay, so it originally was set up, but in this case for that particular movie, they had problems with the neighbor, the ham radio getting into all of their stuff. And so that was 28 minutes of stuff that was actually, we don't need this in the movie. They shrunk it down, and down to nothing. Well, anyway, that's what came into my mailbag. And I thought that was rather interesting, and I did a little bit looking, and that's what I'm missing at the moment, of some of the other movies that antenna was actually in there. And the exact model of tri-bander, for what it was worth, it was the KLM KT-34XA, you know. So, you know, there's a lot of nice stuff that's stuck in the movies and so forth that you don't know, is there any reason that could have been there or it got in there by accident and so forth. Well, in this case, that was part of a story. They decided they weren't going to do anything of it, but they shot something that was worth about 28 minutes worth. In the long run, but you know, there was a beautiful picture that was sent to me on that, showing the Griswold family wagon, you know, in their driveway at some point, and then next door here's this beautiful this house with a beautiful tower, and it's four element tri-bander, and you know, all that good stuff. For what it's worth, people, if not, hey, you know, it's something to be noticed. You know, at least better than the classic, actually not better, but, you know, just like if you look at the old Herman Munster, the old Munsters shows, you know, there's two episodes that shows Herman on the ham radio, and of course, that call sign cannot fit even a CV call sign, you know, they threw a lot of letters together, you know, and I always liked that, and it's funny in this hobby, how many people use that picture of him on their QSL cards. So anyway, roundabout, so forth, I'm back to work. I don't know where my head is at, but if this ain't entertaining, I should do a better job next week. So back to you, Kurt. This is KNIPGC.
I tell you what, John. For you not having your notes, I think you did an excellent job, because I can't do anything without my notes. But I can say this, it reminded me, since you brought that up about movies, basically with ham radios in them, My granddaughter's been spending a lot of time with us lately, and she picked a movie on Disney called Elio. Not a very good movie, but it has a lot of ham radio in it, and they actually say ham radio. It's not just, you know, pictures of it on the wall or anything like that. He's actually using the ham radio to try to find E.T. is basically the gist. So, if anybody has kids or whatever and you want them to watch it, or even if you don't have kids and have Disney Plus, it's called Elio, E-L-I-O, made by Pixar. And it's an okay movie. Not quite my thing, but just seeing all the ham radio and them talking about ham radio on there, it was pretty cool. I think if I remember right, they even had call signs. And if I remember correctly, again, I've only watched it once. And when you have a two-year-old running around, it's hard to focus on anything. But I think their call signs were more like GMRS call signs, but I don't remember exactly. So it was pretty interesting. But thank you for that, John. I don't know about anybody else. I look forward to it every week, so much appreciated, especially just getting in the house there. I tried to stretch it out as long as I could for you. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week, and don't work too hard on your first week back. Sounds like it's too late for that already, though. All right, we're at that time of the net again. General check-ins, anybody anywhere? This is AC9HO Net Control. Please call now.
KC9DJP.
Kilo Charlie 9, Tango Echo Lima.
Okay, we got KC9DJP, and I hope I didn't mess this up. KC9TEL, Tango Echo Lima, is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. Name is Bill, Bravo India, Lima Lima.
All right, Bill, we got you in there. We'll come back to you in a second. I like to go in order how everybody checks in. KC9DJP, club president. That doesn't help hurt either, you know, that he's the club president, so he kind of gets to go first, right? Rich, do you have anything for the net?
Just a friendly reminder about the Ham Fest coming up the last Saturday of February, and we're going to need some volunteers to help out at the door for concession, tear down. Anybody that can give a moment of their time for the benefit of the club would be appreciated. And that's all I got. Sure, you're doing a wonderful job, even though I dislike your weather reports. They're never as good as when I do the net, and always sunny in 75 when I do it. So, back to you, Kurt, KC9DJP.
Okay, I surrender. You're doing it next week. I would love sunny in 75. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, and to Rich's point, I will be there as well. Even if you can't lift or do anything like that, we could definitely use more eyes telling people, hey, carry this over here kind of thing. So even that helps. So you don't have to be, you don't have to use your back or your muscles or anything like that. Just help us organize and keep things running smoothly is a great help too. And Rich, you almost lost me this year for both days, because since we moved it to the last Saturday of the month, that happens to be the same weekend we do inventory at work. But luckily, and you're welcome, I put my vacation in like a month ago, so they can't deny me now, because I didn't know when that was going to be. But now I know I got to put it in every year, so I'll probably put in next year here soon. But anyway, Rich, thank you for checking in. Thanks for the reminder. We did announce the Ham Fest earlier, but we can't announce it too many times, that's for sure. It's coming fast. So if anybody has tables they want to get, reservations, feel free to start reserving. All right. Rich, have a good evening and a good rest of your week. Thanks for checking in. Next, we have KC9TEL. Bill, do you have anything for the net?
Good evening to you. I will be attending the Ham Fest in LaPorte this year again. I go every year. Last year, I think it was the first year at the fairgrounds,
and it was, I thought it was really good. I think it was pretty well attended, and everything seemed to be in great order, so wish you guys all the best. I know I'll be there, and I'm bringing a friend of mine there who I brought last year, and he's fairly new to the area, and I try to get him to go as many ham fests as I can in the area, so I'll drag him with me, and that'll be good, too. I'm also the guy that runs around handing out the little memos and flyers for the Elkhart East Ham Fest that comes up. So, you know, we like to promote every ham fest we can and build each other up and make it work. So, yeah, the weather's being an object here. And, you know, it is what it is. You know, I never heard a weather report before the winter season came up. But I'm thinking we had a really hot summer, we're going to get a snowy winter, and it took a snowfall before they said, yeah, it's going to be pretty snowy. But we lived through it, and we do live in Indiana, so you have to expect snow. But appreciate your guys' net, and always enjoy it. Back to you at Net Control, KC9CTL.
Okay, Bill, yeah, thank you for attending, and yeah, we try to promote all the ham fests we can as well. And I went to that Elkhart last year. Rich and I both went. And that was a very nice ham fest, man. I tell you what, that food spread, that was some good stuff. And very nice laid out, open, very open. That's the one thing we're not used to at the fairgrounds. The fairgrounds is much, much better, especially for the vendors, for getting in and out and everything. But the Civic was definitely a little more open. But I think everybody enjoyed the fairgrounds much, much better. So appreciate the kind words, and I look forward to seeing you there. And, yeah, anything, any flyers you have, you can lay them out anywhere you want, as many as you want. We don't care. Again, thank you for checking in. Have yourself a good evening and a good rest of your week, and sounding good into the repeater tonight. All right, any other check-ins, general check-ins, anybody anywhere, please call now.
WB9W in Chicago.
Okay, WB9W, Pete. Sounding much better than last week, even though last week you weren't too awful bad, but you're back to your normal self from Chicago. And you know what? We'll go ahead and open Swap and Shop, because I know a lot of times you have something. So if you do, feel free to announce it. Pete, do you have anything for the net?
Okay, well, thanks, Kurt. WB9W here. I'm glad I'm making it better tonight. I guess we're having some better band conditions here. Yeah, we're just putting out 45 watts here, and the antenna's up at about 40 feet. Omnidirectional dual band antenna, so, okay. Yeah, I do have something. I still have some items for sale. And one item I have here is a VHF, UHF Jetstream meter, you know, power SWR, you know, it's a cross hash meter. So if you're looking for a, you know, a little watt meter, it's a Jetstream, and I'm selling that. And let's see. Oh, I've got this UHF isopole antenna. It's just a 440 antenna. It's an isopole fuse, but it's in great condition, and it's an omnidirectional AEA isopole. It's probably about 25, 30 years old. They don't make them anymore. It's a great antenna. Low angle radiation. Nice. Antenna. So, that's it. That's all I have. And I can be reached at my email, wb9w1949@yahoo.com. And keep on promoting those ham fests, Kurt, because there's not enough of them. We had some, we used to go to some here in January up in just west of Milwaukee. That one was closed down. We had one here in King County Fairgrounds here in January. That one is gone. And so the only one we got looking forward to is the one coming up here in February, your ham fest there. I sure hope you guys do well and get a lot of vendors and a lot of participants. So, anyway, back to you, WB9W.
Okay, Pete. Yeah, they're definitely falling to the wayside, aren't they? People aren't traveling as much, at least not for ham fest, except for unless it's hamvention. And I know a lot of vendors, big vendors, you know, like name, like HRO, things like that, they don't want to come to a ham fest unless it's at least 2 days long, so make it worth their while, which I understand. But, yeah, it's a hard place to be right now, but think a lot of it's the camaraderie. A lot of people like to see each other face to face, so that helps. But you also need a reason to be there. So, but yeah, we're doing our best. We're going to try to get as many vendors as we can. We have a second building if we need it. We may. I don't know if there's been a decision yet. I guess it depends how many tables we have by the week before to decide to open that building just for testing to keep it a little quieter for any testers. But we'll see. That's not a guarantee yet. But the building's there if we need it, and we're kind of hoping we need it. Because last year we maxed it out with tables. So hopefully this year we go beyond that. That's the goal. So, Pete, thank you for checking in. And oh, yeah, and does anybody have any questions for Pete on the VHF, UHF, Jetstream watt meter, SWR watt meter, I think it's SWR, or the UHF ISOPO AEA antenna? Any questions for Pete? Okay. If you want to email him your question, again, it's WB9W1949@yahoo.com. Pete, thank you for checking in. Sounding great from Chicago with that 45 watts omnidirectional antenna. That sound, it's working very well for you. Have a good evening, good rest of your week, and thanks for checking in. Stay warm over there in Chicago. Might be a little bit colder that way. Who knows? All right. Any other check-ins? And Swap and Shop. I will now open the Swap and Shop session. Are there any stations with amateur radio-related items for sale, wanted, loan, borrow? Swap and Shop session is now open. Please call now.
KC0FME.
All right, Mr. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a Telewave 4-can duplexer for 400 to 512 megahertz, handles 350 watts. It is a model TPCL 4554 duplexer.
You say that was TPCL, Tango Papa?
Roger, TPCL 4554, and I don't know if I can get my phone number or not.
And that is completely up to you. I'll write it down, and that way, if anybody asks me, I can give it to them.
Roger. Area code 574-309-1312. They can call or leave a text.
Okay, very good. Does anybody have any questions for Mike on the Telewave duplexer, TPCI, or sorry, CL? Got to read my own writing. 4554.
What was that phone number again?
574-309-1312.
091312.
My apologies, I doubled with you, Mike. OKA, did you get that?
Yeah, that was the 400 to 500.
Roger, 400 to 512 megahertz, handles 350 watts.
Okay, thanks.
Roger, KC0FNE, back to Matt Control.
Okay, does anybody else have any questions? Okay, Mike, well, thank you for that. And if anybody has any questions for Mike, you can contact him on his phone via phone call or text. If you need that number, just let me know and I'll repeat it. All right, anybody else for general check-in, Swap and Shop, anything at all, please call now.
Yeah, 79GLP. Hey, Mike, how big is that duplexer, roughly, just?
You wanted to know how big it was?
Yeah, is it a stand on the ground, a rack mount type, cans, or is it one of those little mini
mini ones.
It's a full-size duplexer. It can sit on the ground or be rack-mounted, either one.
Okay, I know they got those ones
Roger, yeah, I just feel confident. It's a 14 duplexer. KC0FNE.
Hey, Dave, I don't know if you know or if you're on a different radio or something, but you got a weird buzz or something coming in with you. Well, it almost sounded like somebody doubling with you, but it was every time you keyed up at the exact same time, and it stopped when you unkeyed.
Was that me you're talking about?
Yep, or like something in the background. You didn't sound like that earlier, but you are now.
That's that dang desk mic.
Oh yeah, that's much better. Your audio is louder, which you weren't quiet, but you were a lot lower than you are now, and no weird hum or buzz in the background.
Thanks for recording. Wish I could use it. It's a nice mic. It's just not up to the quality. Okay. Thanks, Kurt.
Yep, no problem. Yeah, that's night and day difference. I mean, you're full quieting now, perfect audio. So, yeah, there's something definitely going on with that microphone. I can't imagine it was sold that way back in the day. Because, in my opinion, they wouldn't sell very many. But anyway... any other check-ins, swap and shop, comments, questions, anything at all, please call now.
The mic says Motorola on it. It was a conversion.
Oh, no. Now you got to start something. Any other check-ins, comments, questions, swap and shop, anything at all, please call now. All right. Well... I might make this last call. That darn stink bug just did another flyby. How do I have a stink bug in the middle of January? Anyway, I haven't seen them in a while. I got another one. Any other check-ins, general check-ins, anybody anywhere? Comments, questions, anything at all, literally. AC9HO Net Control, please call now.
What's wrong with Motorola?
I guess it depends who you ask. I don't have a preference either way, but there are some Motorola lovers out there. But that's the microphone that's not working for them.
How's this one sound, Kurt?
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
It's a Motorola mic on a Motorola. It's on the other side of my business, the 61 Motorola Spectra.
Hey, Spectra, that sounds familiar. I was given a radio Motorola, just a thin little thing. I thought it said Spectra on the front. No screen or anything, no knobs. It's got a key. It locks and unlocks. I don't even know how the darn thing works.
I don't know. I'm not sure what that one is. This one is about the size of an Icom dual bander. But it's got an alphanumeric display on it, a bunch of backlit buttons everywhere. It works quite well.
Yeah, it sounds really good. Is that the microphone that was sounding weird on the other radio?
No, this is a stock Motorola mic comes into a stock radio.
Wow.
The other one was a halfway conversion.
Okay, I was wondering because, it's like Icom. Icom has this, what do they call that? There's a little bit of power going to the microphone, some bias power. So, like with my Flex here, for the headset I'm currently using, I bought it for an Icom 7000, which I still have, by the way. Great radio.
That's a shack in a box radio right there. VHF, UHF, HF. Anyway, sidetrack. So I bought this headset for that radio, and I wanted to use it on the Flex, and I have to turn on the bias power so that it knows that, so that it operates the microphone accordingly. And I also have a hand mic, Heil HMM hand mic that I can use too that also is ICOM. But my Pro 7 headset, I'm a Heil fan, by the way, that one I bought with a dynamic microphone, so I don't need to use that bias power with that. So that's why I was wondering if maybe Motorola had something like that.
No, this is just an oldie moldy that's still hanging around. The alphanumeric is MCARC. Give you an idea how old this is. This is back when I had one radio in the truck. It had police, fire, EMS, EMA, everything, and amateur all on one radio.
Michigan City Amateur Radio Club, that's what I heard.
Yeah, that's what this is. That is what this is designated as.
Yeah, the days of old. Yeah, I was part of the Michigan City Amateur Radio Club for a while, so. But now it's the LPCARC, LaPorte County. But, alright, cool. Well, that one sounds good. Alright, any other check-ins, anybody anywhere? Comments, questions, anything at all? And Bob shared a picture of a baby with a ham radio on it. Cool. Yeah, I got pictures of my granddaughter carrying a radio in her pocket. So, yeah, starting her early. And that was when she was like one and a half. So, yeah, she hasn't touched them since. She is curious, but she hasn't touched them since. But anybody anywhere, comments, questions, anything at all, please call now.
Beware of oil.
On this net, but anyway, anybody anywhere, comments, questions, anything at all, please call me.
So they must be monitoring when different PLs are being used. There's a really neat priority scan function.
I think we might have doubled there, Dave. I don't know who won.
Yeah, so one feature I like about this, the busy light comes on in yellow. Yeah, it shows there's RF traffic on that frequency, but wrong PL tone. When it comes on in green, then it actually opens the audio up and you can hear.
Well, that's because the one that's shining yellow, it's like, yellow, hey, yellow. I don't know, I'm getting a little punchy right now.
You're just feeling a little mellow yellow.
Well, it was a whiskey night, so that's helping. But anyway, I am going to make this official last call. Official last call for anybody anywhere, comments, questions, anything at all. Please call now. Okie dokie. That means this concludes this session of LaPorte County Amateur Radio Club Net. I would like to thank all the amateur radio operators that checked into the net this evening. We had 19 check-ins. Very good night. I will now return the repeater back to normal general amateur use. This is Kurt, AC9HO, and we will be clear at 8:50 p.m. Central Time. 73, and have a good evening, everybody.
73, Kurt.
KUGB.
We just closed the net.
Really? Alright, okay. Good night, KUGB.
Hey, Kirk, you missed one.
I was sitting on the wrong repeater.
Sorry, I was switching over microphones. Yeah, and I already closed the log app. Tony, how are you coming over under the repeater? Sounds like you're coming through All-Star. AC 92.
I'm on the HT living room.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit. Did you say HT on the DMR group?
Yeah. I don't know why I'd be breaking up, but I'm in the living room on an HT.
Yeah, it's acting really weird. I don't understand it. Because it is breaking up a little bit. I don't know if it's data packets dropping or what. Sometimes when you first fire those things up, I don't know how long it's been running at whatever you're using hotspot-wise. Seems like with mine, with mine anyway, sometimes when you first fire them up, they're a little glitchy until they finally get set in their way. You know, kind of like when I get out of bed, I'm a little glitchy.
Well, this has been fun. I mean, it's been power for a long, long time. But anyhow, have a good night. I got to travel and do tomorrow. I was thinking I was going to get in here. But I was sitting along here a long ago, and I realized, wait a minute, I'm not hearing anything. I was in the wrong channel. Anyway, have a good night. K-A-U-G-P.
Okay, Tony. Yeah, you're going to have to keep testing that hotspot out because... Yeah, it's cutting it out quite a bit, so keep testing it and see if it's that or if it's something with the repeater. So, you got things to do, we'll test it another time. 73, have a good one. AC9HO.
Tony, AC9TGI, I didn't catch your call letter.
Sorry about that, I was changing settings on my radio here. What was that? This is Alpha Charlie 9 Hotel Oscar. I didn't catch your call either. My apologies.
Oh, that's right. KC9TEL. I was just going to mention he might try backing off the mic a little. It sounded like it was over-deviating. Digital's a little weird about that, and sometimes audio just makes the receivers chop out.
Yeah, you could be onto something there. Maybe a little bit too close. Or the gain's up a little too high. I mean, it sounded pretty good in between the little breakups, but yeah, I think you're right. That might be on the peaks. It was clipping him a little bit. That's a perfect analogy, too. So you're probably spot on there.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's one of the things that you learn to do when you service amateur radio and FM stuff, and got to keep the deviation under 5K. Some receivers just don't like, you know, hearing the little extra audio, and they just cut out because, well, you're over-deviated and you change frequency too much, and I'm just not handling this. So been there already on that one.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, he's using a Yaesu coming into DMR. I could be wrong, but that's another thing, too. I noticed with my hotspots, if I can use a DMR radio with a hotspot on DMR, it tends to work better than using a Yaesu radio on DMR, or vice versa. Use a DMR on Yaesu, or System Fusion, whatever you want to call it. That's been my experience anyway, and I typically, actually the only hotspots I have are open spots right now, so I got an open spot 1 and an open spot 4. I have the 1 dedicated to DMR, and I have the 4 currently. I switch that one more often, but it's dedicated currently to D-Star. So, and then I just acquired a M1KE. So apparently when I go for one brand, I go for everything in that brand. That one currently is dedicated to All-Star. So I really like the audio quality on that transmit and receive.
Yeah, one of the things that's really important, and it's just a matter of each manufacturer and each data decode, encode type, up to them to clarify, make things work a little more convenient with each other. the speed of the processors and all that stuff. I mean, it's digital information world is great, you know, and it's signal strength and all that mess. But I wish there was a complete standard that everybody could use each other's. But unfortunately, the manufacturers don't kind of see it that way. They want to sell their product over something else.
Yeah, yeah, man, I'm losing my voice tonight. I totally agree. If they had a radio that would do all those digital modes, just like this M1KE, I think the only downfall with this M1KE is it's not actually a radio. It's just an internet thing, you know. It connects to the internet and it has a PTT and a microphone. And on All-Star, anyway, you could be talking, and if somebody keys up while you're talking, it's full duplex, so you'll be able to hear them. So you can unkey and let them finish or whatever. But it doesn't do that on the digital modes. But it does all the digital modes, does all start. And I think that would take off big time if there was a radio manufacturer that could create something like that. But that someday might happen. But I understand having the different versions and different modes and whatnot. Everybody has their favorite. So my personal favorite right now is probably All-Star, but before that was System Fusion. That's the one I spent most of the time on.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, it's unfortunate that the manufacturers don't have a specific type to do. And with digital technology, you know and I know, Post, that it's if your signal's not perfect into it, it's no different than watching a digitized picture when you've got a minimally weak station. You know, the annoyances with digital, here we are in the 21st century, when you watch television programs, it's kind of annoying when you see the lips move and the audio's not synced to it. You would think that that would be really good. But then again, think about it. Do you actually own a television these days? No. Nobody has a television these days. They're not made. What you have is a VGA or 4K monitor or 8K monitor that's got an RF module that decodes and limits the TV channels. So, you know, if the Linux computer is doing up to speed on the video, generally as a rule, the audio is easier to decode, and that comes over okay. But if the digital's slow, the voices don't match up, then don't match up, I mean. And, you know, you would think that in this day and age, they would have that figured out already.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I totally agree that I have found if it starts doing that, if you hit rewind or pause or something like that, it kind of reboots everything, at least in my mind, and everything goes back in sync again. But, yeah, I can't handle that. And you're right, if your signal's strong, and some could argue that you get a little more distance out of a digital signal, and that, I would say for quality, maybe, but if you are really needing to stretch that rubber band, analog's the only way that you can do that. Because once you get to almost the end of that rubber band, you're either in or you're not, or you're in and out. You know, and you can't even hold a conversation. So, digital has its place. The reason I'm a big fan of All-Star right now is because of the audio quality. The audio quality of analog is just, it is far superior, especially when you're going through the internet and everything and you're close to a repeater or you have your own node or something like that. The audio quality, even on a regular radio, is just spectacular. Compared to digital. I mean, digital was spectacular when it first came out because you never heard anything like that before, you know, but then I know All-Star's been out probably as long or longer, but it's new to me, so I'm pretty pleased with the audio quality there compared to digital, but I have nothing against digital. I still play with those two.
Yeah, I think the best of both worlds, depending on signal strength, KC9TEL for ID, by the way, for the fact that you have both medias, digital's got serious advantages for quality, and if you're at a spot when you can't do digital because of signal strength or whatever, always great to back up to analog. It amazes me, local the police department in my particular area, if they can't hit the repeater for some reason, there's no out to go talk around. Everything has to be done that way, and there's no backup to use VHF, UHF, or anything. Thank goodness we all have cell phones. And did you know back in the day that you could use a modem on analog cell phones, but there was a restriction on it? Do you know what it was?
I do not. That's news to me.
If you had it in your car, you couldn't drive your car using analog cellular phones. I was operations manager for Cellular One. We had this big discussion before I moved up here down in North Carolina when I worked for one. If you drive your car, what is a cell phone? It's an FM radio. So when you drive, you're changing the frequency. If you change the frequency and you had the analog modem going through, you change the frequency of what the data works on, it would drop every time. One of those little caveats that you would never think about. I had a serious discussion with a manager one time over that when I was living down south, and he told me I was crazy until we went out and proved it. And it's just one of those things that one would not think about driving. Now, today, digital packets are sent, and it's perfectly okay to drive, you know, 60 miles an hour and everything and not lose a data packet.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. That, and it's amazing how far we've come in a short amount of time, really. But, yeah. And now you can stream TV while you're driving, preferably not the driver, but passengers. Of course, I hear Teslas. I don't have a Tesla, but I hear they have the entertainment screen on the dash so that when you're sitting there waiting for your car to charge for hours, you have something to do. That seems kind of counterintuitive to me, but whatever, to each their own. But I'd rather get to where I'm going than sit in the car and watch TV. But yeah, it's just amazing what you can do now.
Yes, it is. And back in the day also, telephone communication in general, old landline deal, 300 to 3,000 is all it passed. Recently, it came to light, I'm listening, I have my cell phone coming out my dash speakers like most people do when you have the Bluetooth or direct connect to the dash, and it dawned on me, I put on hold with music on hold, and it was a good signal, and I realized that music on hold, what was playing, sounded very much like a good quality, not great, but good quality CD. It had bass, highs, everything, and I'm listening to that, and I realized that it was a music on hold on a cell phone. That's what digital technology does, and it's just wild that you can hear such great stuff, and it's still only a telephone.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever noticed that when I'm on hold with my phone connected to my truck. I don't know if I've been on hold too many times. While I'm in the truck, so I'll have to pay attention to that, see if it sounds that good for me. Of course, it does depend who you're talking to, what company or whatever that puts you on hold. Hey, Bill, I wanted to ask you a question while I got you here and anybody else that wants to contribute. I changed microphones. I am using the Heil HMM, hand mic. I was wondering if I sound okay. Too low or too loud?
I think the audio quality right now you have is near perfection. It's perfect audio. It's crystal clear. Nothing I can say negative about it whatsoever. It really sounds good.
Yeah, well, there you go. Thank you very much. I did turn the mic beam down quite a bit compared to what I had on the headset, because I don't like picking up that chair in the background, but sometimes you just can't help it. That headset, I think, is a little more sensitive. But I used to use this mobile HF with that ICOM 7000.
I like using a hand mic almost better than a headset, because a headset hurts my ears after a while. But I tell you what, when you're running a net and using a keyboard and pen and paper and all that stuff, using a foot pedal on the headset is a godsend, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't think you'd be able to run a net smoothly if you had a handheld mic. A desk mic, you might get away with it if you put it in lock, but then you have to go push it in lock and then turn around and take it out of lock. So, you know, what using a headset would do is absolutely great. I know people that use Bluetooth headset, and I know people that use wired headsets. You know, in that situation, I don't know which one. I'm assuming you have a wired headset, which would be the absolute ideal way to go. There's too much latency with the Bluetooth one. And you also have to think that when you put a Bluetooth headset on, any kind of an earpiece, they transmit about 372 meg. So, you know, they talk about cell phone technology being bad. It's not. Cell phones don't do what they say they do. A lot of times they say 6 cents a watt output, and they are not unless you're far away. But you stick that Bluetooth in your ear, it's 372 meg transmitting into your head. So it's not dangerous, but it's just something to think about.
Hey, C9HO, yeah, for sure. And I'm guilty of that myself. I got those AirPods that you put in your ear to listen to podcasts and music, sometimes music, mostly podcasts, but yeah, I'm guilty. I don't wear them all day, though, so maybe a couple hours at most a day, not even every day, because I'm too busy at work to have them in anyway, so. But yeah, I use it's a BM17 Heil headset. It's for portability use mostly. That's why I'm surprised the noise canceling is not even half of what the Pro 7 is, because, you know, I'm sure you know what the Pro 7 look like. It looks like a airplane headset and really big and bulky, but the noise canceling both, you know, in your ears, because you can't hear much around you, plus the noise canceling on the mic is just unbelievable. But the BM17, I think, has a decent audio quality, but the noise canceling is not near what the Pro 7 has, and maybe not even what this hand mic has.
Yeah, PC9TEL, that is one of those things. The noise canceling part is always fun, and it depends on the type of noise canceling they use. The microphones have to be pretty much matched in what they do. The phase inverter has to work like it's supposed to work and all that nonsense. And does it always work? No. You know, it's that's a catch-22, and that's just audio in general. If you move the mic a little bit, then the noise canceling doesn't work as well as it's supposed to. And, you know, but it's nice to have it, and it's nice to be there. The biggest thing I've always found is with microphones, this one, I'm running a TYT TH7800. When I got this radio, the audio from the handheld mic I'm using was very muted. So I opened the mic up, and, you know, the salt and pepper-sized capacitors, I hit one with a soldering iron, and by the time it got hot, the capacitor disappeared off the board, and it cleans the mic up a little bit. So I know it sounds better than when I first got the radio, because this was a really dark-sounding radio. I don't know exactly why they do that, but I can sort of guess.
Yeah, it sounds really good right now. I had no complaints whatsoever, nice and loud and crisp and clear. But, yeah, that's interesting. I've heard of others getting radios, too, some of the Chinese radios that they actually had to take the mic apart, and I think one was an HT, and the hole for the microphone wasn't fully open. You know how plastic molds are sometimes. Not all the holes and cracks and crevices are fully cleaned out of the flesh. The leftover plastic. So once they did that, everybody could hear them. Funny how that.
That's wild. And Motorola is one on some of the radios that I've seen inside of. The microphone hole is down at the bottom of the mic, but the microphone doesn't exist there. They have the hole in the mic, Then it makes a right turn and goes a short distance, and then makes a left turn and hits the element. And that's to eliminate wind pop in the mic mostly. But boy, if you don't get on that microphone and talk it, there's not a lot of good sound coming out of it. But, you know, the manufacturers do what they can to eliminate the popping when you say petunia or porcupine and all. And but yeah, each one's got their own little caveat for doing it. Do they all work? Yeah, not really. They do are effective in whatever ways possible, but what they do. My Yaesu FT, well, I was in an 8800, whatever it is, in my car, looks exactly like the 7800 TYT. The differences are the microphones are identical looking, sort of, but the mic will not work on this radio. It doesn't key it up or anything. I mean, they changed it enough that it's not a Yaesu, and it works well enough that the Yaesu is a better radio, but, you know, little changes between it, you get what you pay for in some of them.
No, yeah, I can believe that. I think I lost the repeater when I was talking there, but that's okay. But I don't know if my mic came unkeyed or what, because he started talking while I was talking, but that's okay. But that 8800, that's not that quad band. That's the 8900 is a quad band, right? But that's a dual band, isn't it?
The 8800 is dual band.
Oh, yeah. I remember when that radio came out. That was one radio I really wanted to get, but at the time I was a kid, and I didn't have any money, so that's a good radio.
Yeah, I do like it. I have a Kenwood TMV71A. I like that radio more. The downside is my Kenwood has a ceramic filter problem. I don't particularly feel like taking it apart to fix it. I don't want to separate the boards. I don't want to change it. I have somebody that's going to do it for me because it's going to take a better soldering iron and eyes and thickness that I don't have the desire to go into surface mount stuff. But the ceramic filters are bad in it, and the sensitivity is supposed to be 0.13 microvolts or something. Mine's sitting at 10 microvolts. I can hear the repeater 3 miles away, and I get half reading on the meter, so it was supposed to be recalled, but I didn't get there in time. Oh, well, I got to get it fixed at some point, but that's a far superior radio to my Yaesu, at least anyway.
Well, Kenwood makes a good radio, there's no doubt about that. I'm curious how this new mobile they're coming out with, how that's going to perform, and then also the price that they're going to put on it. I'm sure it's going to be a premium price for a premium tri-band mobile radio with all the bells and whistles, APRS, and I think even D-Star and things like that. But still curious to see what it's going to come out as, you know, as price-wise, but more curious on the performance. But I'm a big fan of Kenwood, even though I don't own a single Kenwood. I've had one, but just... They don't have too many radios out anymore, and that D75, the battery life on it is the reason why I won't purchase one of those. So, but and then speaking of microphones and HDs, you got a lot of these HDs that are waterproof, and makes it to where you sound muffled sometimes, or if you don't, if it's got good quality, you got to get really, really close to the radio to get that quality.
Yeah, that is for sure. You do have to get close to it. The little membrane they put between you and the mic, you have to oscillate that as well. And it's one of the trade-offs for having a, you know, fairly much water-sealed system. And, you know, the thing is with the Kenwood, I have a THF6 Kenwood. I do like it. And I like it because of some of the features. It's a wideband receiver. You're probably familiar with all that. It's 0.05 watts in battery power at low power. And it's got some interesting things. The downside, when you go to handheld, when you're in handheld mode, which you are all the time anyway, but when you use it at high power, it only does about 3.5 watts. And it's rated at 5, so... It's just one of those things. I use it. I like it, but I've got a couple of the, you know, Fofang radios that if I drop it, I don't feel like I'm dropping a $400 handheld, and they seem to work, you know, very well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I don't knock Baofengs at all. They get the job done, and for a pretty good price, good entry radio, good all-around radio. Like I said, you can take it anywhere, and not if you forget it, lose it, break it, you're not out a whole bunch. You're not too heartbroken other than the fact that you got to reprogram another one. And sometimes that's not fun unless you know how to work the chirp program. But now, the F6, if I'm not mistaken, that's a little... It's a little HD, and it's a tri-bander, right?
It is a, I think it's just dual band. I don't, well, maybe it's a tri-band. I don't, I've never used it at 220. I know the receiver goes from 100, well, it covers the FM broadcast band, but Kenwood made a mistake. They only have, it sounds like it's only 10 kilohertz open. When you listen to FM broadcast, it's all distorted, so I don't even bother, who care. But I'm not certain about the tri-band part of it. I've never used it there.
Yeah, there we go. I was typing and couldn't talk at the same time. I was trying to type in Kenwood F6. And, yeah, that's the one I was thinking, and I think. It's got a dual screen. Looks like on that picture they are receiving single sideband, 20 meters. But I believe that's the tri-band radio. That's one that years ago when it first came out, I really wanted that radio. But again, I didn't have any money. So I bought all the cheaper radios. But yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about that little radio. It's a small radio, but kind of a fat one in a way. And I haven't got to the band yet. I'm scrolling through here. I'm looking at the pictures. It's a nice looking radio. But I'm pretty positive that is a dual band or a tri-band radio. Oh, yep, there it is.
Yeah, it may very well be a tri-bander. I'm not certain. But I know it works well. The receiver is good on it. It receives up to 900-something meg, lacks a couple bands that were banned from listening to, but it's a really wide band unit. One reason I got it, I worked on wireless microphones once in a while, and some of them were 500 and 600 meg. 600 no longer is legal to use as a wireless mic, but I made it to receive the wireless mics, and I could say, oh yeah, the transmitter's working, we got a problem at the other end. And that was one of the caveats to help me buy that radio. But with all the rest of the radios around, that's been sitting on the shelf for like 4 years now, and I think the batteries may still be good. I'm not even sure about that.
Yeah, that was a nice radio in its time. Still nice today. Tough construction, military grade for water and dust and whatnot. It's not waterproof, but got a pretty high rating there. But it is tri-band, 144, 220, and 440. So, but I think 220, well, see, there we go. My key lit up again. That's interesting. Maybe I'm just getting weak on my thumb. It is getting late, so I'm probably getting off here pretty quick. But I haven't found in the description here what the power rating is for 220, but a lot of times, oh wait, I just found it. I say it, I find it. So with the optional battery, it will do, looks like it will do, extra low is 8. That don't make sense. But it looks like 5 watts on high power, so at least that's what's advertised, right?
Yeah, it's 5 watts output. Like I said, it does only 3.5 or 4, and that's okay. You're not going to know the difference between it anyway. When it's in battery mode, it'll do 0.05 watts at low power. Medium power is a watt or something, and then the high power is 5. When you hook it up with the car adapter, which was available for it, then it does half a watt on low power, and I probably gets closer to 5 on high power. But it was interesting that on battery power, it backs it up to 0.05. And I've actually used that when I was testing the 3-3 repeater up here. We first got the antenna up there. I was working with Dewey, and I tried repeaters around the area, and I teed up with just the antenna and that radio because we didn't have anything on it yet. And I was talking a repeater just south of Kokomo, and I thought that was pretty good on 0.05 watts.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, you would think the only time you'd use 0.5 watts is for a hotspot or something. That would make a good hotspot radio at that power. But I do know, I think Brian in 9YOU's got that Kenwood as well. And he keyed up the 220 South Bend repeater from our club meeting, which is here in LaPorte. And I have my TYT 220 radio, HD, the TH350, it's a tri-band. And I can't even hear that repeater on my deck by my pool. That's about maybe about 4 feet high, and I'm standing on top of it. I still can't even hear that repeater. I could be keying it up, but I wouldn't know it. So that Kenwood definitely has a good receiver and a good transmitter.
Yeah, that's the beauty with the Kenwood stuff. You know, they do have a radio that works extremely well. One of the reasons I bought the THF6 mobile, because of its specification. And unfortunately for me, I sent it down to Virginia when Kenwood had a service place down there. They had it for 3.5 weeks. I complained the receiver sensitivity was terrible. And 3.5, 4 weeks later, they called me and said, we've had no trouble with it, using it here. And they checked everything, and they soldered the antenna connector, he said. Let's see if that fixes it. Okay. I got it back, and it was still bad, and I called them back. I have to send it back down there again. You guys didn't fix it. And he goes, oh, well, it's out of warranty now. We can't take it back. And, you know, it was just kind of upsetting that it happened that way. But I know Kenwood doesn't have that service center down there anymore. I guess they weren't doing a good job. Oh, go figure.
AC9HO, yeah. Yeah, you kind of learned that firsthand, didn't you? All right, Bill. Well, I'm going to jump off here. It's, 10:30 your time. It's 9:30 my time, and I got to get up at 4:30, so that's my daily get-up time for Monday through Friday and sometimes Saturday. So I'm going to jump off of here. It's been nice chatting with you for sure, and I appreciate the audio check there for me, and have yourself. Well, there goes that button again. Have yourself a good evening, and stay warm the rest of the weekend. But we'll say 73. Have a good one. KC9TEL, AC9HO.
Yeah, 73 to you, Kurt. Good talking to you. You have yourself a wonderful evening as well. KC9TEL, 73.
W9DRD. W9DRG, is up to HD on the dot, AC9BQX. Portable model, Michigan City. No concept on W9DRG. This is AC9BQX. Portable model, Michigan City, clear repeater.
KC9DKX, W9DRG. KC9DKX, W9DRG. W9DRG clear.